Let me start by introducing myself. My name is Janice Gillies, and I'm a rehabilitation officer with the Santa Clara County Office of the Sheriff. I am currently assigned to the CASU, which is Custody Alternative Supervision Unit program, which allows an individual who's incarcerated on a prison sentence to serve part of that sentence in the community under supervision. I met Crystal while she was participating in this program. And so I'm gonna let Crystal introduce herself and give her perspective on the CASU program.
Hi, Ms. Janice, my name is Crystal Perez. I'm a former CASU client, and I got on the early release program into Evans Lane, that was in residential.
Okay, when I was first asked about sharing a client success story, Crystal, you quickly came to my mind. Not only because of how well you're doing now in so many areas of your life, but also because of the short time frame in which you accomplished so much. I want to hear about your whole journey, but I want to try to step back to the beginning of your journey to understand as much of your thinking and your experience that has attributed to your success, and also anything that could possibly help others, you know, as they're on this journey. So going back to kind of the beginning, life at the time of your arrest, what did life look like for you when you were arrested?
So at the time of my arrest, I was very reckless, irresponsible. I have a daughter, 17-year-old daughter. She lived with me, but I was physically there, but not mentally there. I was in and out of jail. I was just hanging out with the wrong crowd and out of jail and just not being a productive member of society, and also not being the mother that my daughter needed at the time.
Okay. So after you were arrested, came the custody time. And during that time, you spent some time in custody. You were waiting for sentencing, and during that time you had programs available to you. How much time did you spend in custody, and can you describe any progress or the process that you went through during that time while you're waiting for your sentencing, and anything that maybe impacted you during that time while you're in custody?
Yeah, so I spent 1 year in lockdown, and when I was in lockdown, there was no programming. Well, there was a program, but I guess I wasn't ready to program yet. Mm-hmm. So I spent a whole year in lockdown. Then I went on the cruise waiver, came back, and they finally downclassed me, and I heard about RCP. So I went into RCP, and there was programs there. They have different types of program, and then somebody mentioned CASU. It was an early release program. I have never heard about CASU, didn't know what it was. I just knew it was an early release program out of custody. So then I stayed programming in RCP. I was a trustee there. So I started like being engaged and participating in all the programs, kind of being a leader there. And that's why I kind of like was like, oh, okay, this is not that bad. Kind of made me think of something different. Like I think one day, the reentry, when I was there and did a walkthrough, everybody went and they met like outside and they did a walkthrough, and then they explained everything that the reentry offered. I had no idea that they were offering like services, housing, Medi-Cal. I had no idea, nothing. So the whole reentry team went over there. They did a little presentation. They introduced themselves. And then I seen this lady that I think she was like a peer mentor. She was a peer mentor, and she was like, had a lived experience. And she was like, oh, my name's so-and-so. I've been where you're at, I've been incarcerated like you are. And look at me now, I work for the reentry, I work for the county. So that was like the first little seed that got planted in my head. I was like, okay. Because back in my days, it was like, if you had a felony, nobody wants to hire you. If you've been in jail, nobody wants to hire you. So that was kind of like, my mind was like, okay, well, nobody wants to hire me, then I'm just gonna go and do illegal stuff.
Right.
So when she came in and she planted the seed in my head, I was like, okay, well, she's been in jail. She kind of has lived the experience. So if she could do it, then I could do it. And I think it was like, I think a couple of weeks later, they did the San Jose State expungement, and Victoria came in, and then she also had like a peer mentor. And I remember telling one of the ladies, I was like, look, that's gonna be me one day. One day I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna be staying at orientation or something. I'm gonna be a peer mentor. That's before I even knew about the peer mentor certification, and I didn't know anything about that. So then I finally got approved for CASU. They're like, okay, it took a while. It took maybe another year for me to get approved for CASU. And finally I went to get sentenced. They approved me for CASU. And then I was just waiting. And then prior to that, one of the ladies that she's to be trusted with me, she got out on CASU. So she was like, oh, I'm at the reentry. I'm doing CASU. I'm doing a peer mentor certification in South Bay City College. So she was doing all these wonderful things. And then she also has been in and out, kind of like the same lifestyle as myself. And I was like, dang, she could do it, and I could do it. So then she planted another little seed in my head. So then when I got out in CASU, she wasn't there no more, but it was like she was doing all these like wonderful things. And then so I figured, like, I was kind of like just shadowing what she was doing because it was working for her. And since I knew her from the streets, I was like, okay, well, she's changing her life. Then maybe, you know, if I kind of follow and she kind of like gives me all these resources and everything, maybe like that could work on me. You know, so while being in custody in CASU, my daughter, I missed her quinceañera. You know, so it was like I was trying to like be up for a quinceañera. It didn't work out the same, but I think that was like a turning point to myself. Like, I missed all these years. A quinceañera is a really important date for, you know, everybody. So I kind of missed that. So that was kind of like a breaking point where like, I need to change my life now. I can't be in and out of jail. I have to be there for my daughter, especially now that she's being a teenager. So I think that was kind of like a breaking point where like I kind of made the decision to like, let me just give it a try. If it doesn't work out, you can always do bad. You know,
right,
you
right.
try to do good and see what happens, because I've never tried to do good. So let me try to, you know, give this, you know, being normal, living, you know, normal life. Let me give it a try. And if I don't like it, then you could, there's not hard to do bad.
Right.
So then I got on CASU, and that's when I met you. I met you here in CASU. So I didn't know that they met Cardenas, all the CASU officers. I used to come here, and then I was like, Vanessa came from Goodwill one day. She's like, oh, you know, Goodwill Construction. She was offering the construction. And then, I mean, I was like, okay, I'm kind of tired just sitting here, you know, class is doing that thing. Let me just try out this construction class. So I went over there to do the construction class, and that's when I started working at Goodwill. I graduated the construction class, and then quarantine happened. You know, I think they stopped it because the quarantine, not quarantine, but the
shelter in place.
Mm-hmm. So everything went through shelter in place. I was at Evans Lane. Well, let me backtrack to that. So when I got released from CASU, I went to a residential, Evans Lane. It's like, that was like the first time me ever doing programming or being in a residential or doing any type of, that was my first time ever. So I go into this it's like apartment complex, and I have my own apartment called Evans Lane. The staff there is wonderful. There's like curfew and stuff like that, but we had curfew for a castle anyway. So I would live there and then come to class. And then I followed all everything that they told me to do. And then I think you gave me permission to work on my, I think it was like 6 weeks or earlier, a week earlier than usual. So then I went into the construction, and then when the whole shelter in place happened, nobody could leave the county Evans Lane, because it was a county place, so nobody could leave there. So then Vanessa's like, oh, so they shut down Goodwill. And then they asked for like three volunteers from CASU so they could go work. And I was all mad. I was like, why do you have to volunteer me? I want to stay home. I don't want to be around nobody. Like, pick somebody else. And she's like, well, I just want to give you guys an opportunity to like leave and get some fresh air. So you guys are just there, you know? I was like, okay, fine.
Really, really quick, how many more weeks did you have to your trades program? Because you were like kind of
I think I had a week left to graduate when the shelter in place happened. Mm-hmm. So we had one more week before the shelter in place happened. So, then I was working at e-commerce by then. And then after I graduated from e-commerce, I stayed working there. There was nobody there. There was like three people. It was like an abandoned warehouse, just like four people working in e-commerce. So I would go to work and be in Legoland doing Legos, and then I would take pictures, and then finally they hired me as a core employee. And then I had already
as a what?
A core employee, like permit.
Oh, okay.
As yes. A regular employee. And then I had signed up because I had heard about in the reentry they said about these being a peer mentor for Sound Lake City College. And I already knew people that had graduated that class. So I was like, let me just sign up for, you know, once a week at the reentry, I'll do it. But because of the whole shelter in place, we had to do it through Zoom. So then yeah, so I did that for 1 year, but while I was going to school, there was a temporary peer mentor position at Goodwill that they had opened up, and they're like, oh, they're looking for somebody temporary. So then I talked to Paula and said, hey, I'm going to school. I'm in the residential. You know, I'm doing, you know, everything I'm supposed to. And I know you have a position open, you know, maybe. But first he said, oh, I already have somebody in mind. I said, well, if you change your mind or that it doesn't work out, you know, can you let me know? He's like, yeah. So then that person didn't work out. So then I approached him again. I said, hey, you know, I heard that, you know, the person didn't work out. You know, can you know give me a chance? Or, and after he decided to give me a chance. He interviewed me and I got the position to be a temporary peer mentor. Yeah. So while being the peer mentor, I really enjoyed it. I liked it. I like working with everybody. So I was like, okay, maybe this is kind of like the field I want to go into, you know, helping people, giving back, you know, everything. But while being a peer mentor there, Goodwill, when nobody was there, they were bringing people little by little. I heard about this BSCC housing thing that they had. It was a housing for parolees. Anybody that's been to prison, they were offering a 2-year free rent. And I was like, that's unbelievable. I'm not going to get it. I didn't believe it at first. I was like, yeah, right. This is a lie, you know? So I looked into it and it was like, it was really basic. It wasn't like application. I gave them my name, the prison I paroled from, and then that's it. And then somebody called me and they're like, oh, you're number 3 on the list. And then they said, okay, just show me your income, you know? And then they said, give me your daughter's, you know, paperwork, birth certificate. Just make sure she's not in the system and she's able to live with you. I was like, okay. So that was like the second meeting I had. The third meeting was like, I was already meeting with somebody. I just had to get your approval and I had to like give a date when I was gonna leave Evans Lane. So I was like, it was still unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I never have a good look like
very
this.
Very exciting.
Yeah,
yes.
So it was, I've never heard of this. So it was like very exciting. And then I started thinking like, it was still hanging with, you know, with friends. I didn't want to hang out with anybody, but it was like, it was still kind of like it was like knowing all these people, you know, and just not talking to nobody. It was kind of still like a struggle for me. Like I wanted, it was tempting and I wanted to like, you know, hang out, but I didn't.
With old friends,
oh, you know, right. And then as much as I hated like Cass Sue and like Evans Lane, it was like, it kind of worked out because like, it just helped me just to be on track and not hang out with anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. And then after I remember one day I was like pulling books in e-commerce, I was working. And then like, you know, people, you know, when you're doing good, it seems like everybody that are your old friends start calling you. Like, hey, you know, like when they see you doing good, everybody starts calling you. So I had like a lot of people like calling me, oh, you're doing so good, you know, you should hang out. And I remember one day when I was at work, I would just pull books and put my headphones on. And I was like, I need to make a choice, you know, like all these good things are happening to me. I'm getting everything. I'm getting housing, you know, like I'm doing good past two. I'm just having, like, I'm getting just a lot done that I never had, and all these like,
opportunities.
Yeah. And then I was like, so I need to make a choice. Like, where is it that I want to be? I want to go, I want to do good. I want to do bad. Cause I know if I hang out with people, then I'm going to go backwards. So I need to make a choice. It's like, I need to change my life. And then once I made the decision about like changing my life and not wanting to talk to anybody, like it was just like, I felt way better. I didn't have to feel guilty no more of not answering the calls or kind of just justifying why I didn't want to hang out, you know? It was just like a big old relief off my shoulder. Like, okay, no, that's not who I am no more. I don't want to hang out with you guys. I'm doing good now. So like, I'm just gonna stay doing good. And then eventually like the calls, people stopped calling me, nobody wanted to hang out with me, but it was just like, it was better because I would just be home and just, you know?
Did you ever think you could do both? Like you could still have the people from your old life in your new life? Did you ever think that and think, okay, I'm gonna just do both since I'm doing so well?
At the beginning, I knew I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Like I still kind of tried talking to them, but it was like the person they knew from before, it was like they expected things from me or right. like called me for other things. And I was like, oh, I don't do that no more. You know.
So you quickly saw that
that was
still part of their life.
Yeah, they were only reaching out to me because like trying to do something like criminal activity or something illegal. So I kind of like knew that, oh yeah, how are you doing? Oh, but so, oh, you know, you think you know this. So I kind of seen that it wasn't like, they were not just calling me to like, oh, how are you doing? Oh, you know, you're doing so good. It was like, they were reaching out to me for other things. So I kind of had to be like, you know what? These people I don't need in my life. I just need to like either just be for myself and then it'll work out better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
which is a great choice, but a very, very hard decision to make because of, you know, those relationships were still relationships. And so for you to be able to kind of discern the fact that this is not going to be good for me and it's going to pull me down instead of, you know, help me stay on this path to do better. So I'm glad you made that decision.
Yeah, and then after that was like, you know, I got my housing.
And the housing was, explain that, it was through the parole program, the BSCC, and then you got your own apartment or?
Yeah, so I'm still in the housing currently right now. Okay. My housing ends in November. So it's a 2-year program, it's called BSCC, and it's for anybody that's ever been to prison that has a CDC number. They give you the housing, they get you the apartment, and they pay your rent for 2 years. And the only requirement was like, I needed to improve my credit and save money, that's it.
Mm-hmm. And so they monitor you while you're on the program to continue to do those things so that you can eventually be on your own as far as paying for your own housing.
Yeah, they have case managers there, so you'll get assigned to a case manager, which right now they're currently my coworkers, you know. Mm-hmm. But we have case managers, they do like little plans for you, like you want to save money, you know, how to like fix your credit and things like that. So at the end of the program, that you have enough money to either move out on your own or invest it in a home or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to stay there and continue and start paying your own rent, or do you have to move to another unit or another
housing?
No,
you're able to stay there.
Okay.
Yeah, you're able to stay there. So.
All right. Have you decided what you're gonna do, or are you still thinking?
My apartment's in Santa Clara, so I think I might need maybe I'm not sure yet. I might stay there for one more year, or I might just try to move out, mm-hmm. get something better. Or get closer.
Yeah. And they actually approved for you to have your daughter there part time, and so they actually allowed her to live with you too, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So I got a 2-bedroom apartment, so she has her own bedroom and then I have my own.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. So that was kind of the programs, your transition into community, and my recollection of you during the CASU program was that you were very compliant, you're cooperative, you're consistent in all the aspects of the program. You participated in the residential program, the Evans Lane that you mentioned. You received good reports from all the staff. Participated in the classes here for the 6 to 8 weeks. Always positive, always got along with your peers, and liked by the teachers and the staff. But I think what I didn't see was the depth and the level of your commitment, just to and the drive that you seem to have. And so it's great to hear a glimpse of, you know, those little places along the way where you met the peer mentor, or you saw somebody else who, you know, was involved in programs over here that went like, hey, if she can do that, I can do that, you know? So it's really cool to hear that part of your story, because now you're that person, right? You're that person that inspired you and in order to keep you going, you know? And so that's really great to hear. Do you remember a specific turning point? I think you already mentioned that the few turning points as far as your missing your daughter's quinceanera and also just the interaction with the peer mentor, but do you see your success as a gradual thing, or was it very, very specific to like, hey, those two things? Well, I guess you did have the things along the way that could have taken you the other way, but it sounds like those were specific enough to continue on this path to going, no, I want to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think also because, well, my jobs now I'm a case manager. I went from like peer mentor to resource coordinator to case manager.
To what coordinator?
To resource coordinator, the career health coordinator.
Okay, what is that entail?
That was just basically, I would just help everybody out, like assist all my coworkers, and then for intakes, help everybody out that needed help, like participants. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a case manager, I'm a Property 7 case manager, but it was like, even just being a research coordinator, it was like just for intake, seeing people that I knew, mm-hmm. you know, and then me offering all the resources that were offered to me, and just kind of telling them like, hey, like I was once in your shoes. You know, if I could do it, you could do it. Or even seeing people that knew me and they're like, wait, are you Crystal? You know, Crystal, the one that we knew, and they're like, they didn't recognize me, just actually just, you know, like them seeing the difference and mm-hmm. then me being an inspiration to them and me hearing that kind of like helped me out, like, oh, you know, like it kind of felt good to like just inspire other people, you know, that I knew me from my back life now. Right. That are like, damn, you know, you're doing so good, and just kind of, you know, wanting to do the same thing, it's kind of an inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely inspiring to me too. As you know, we work together now almost as a staff, you know, because yeah. you're the mentor or coordinator over there at the Goodwill, mm-hmm. and so there's often times that you and I interact in order to, you know, keep their schedules, and so it's really interesting to have gone from working with you as a client and now almost as a peer, you know, it's exciting to see that. So I think we covered, when I was thinking of your successes, I thought of the Evans Lane, the CAS program, you completed your sentence. Oh, and the other thing I remember is that you participated in the outreach court, which required you to also do community service, and you paid off all your fines and fees, correct?
Correct. I paid off, I think I did, I owed like $20,000, like $19,000,
oh, wow.
And Judge Manley dismissed it. I did all my hours at Evans Lane. I think I overly did hours. I think I did like 204 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But he dismissed all my fines and fees, so that was kind of good. I kind of tell everybody that, like, take advantage of it.
Right.
You know, you owe restitution through outreach court. I try to like, everything that I did, I try to just sell it and promote it. Like, I did it, you could do it. Let me know, I could just, you know, give you the resources, or I could email somebody, mm-hmm. and just actually just, you know, tell everybody to take advantage of everything that the reentry offers. Like, I think it's a good thing that people go and do walkthroughs, especially in custody, because not a lot of people know all the resources that the reentry offers. So for me, it was a good idea. It was like, when I seen, you know, and they see a familiar face and somebody that's approachable, when right. you come to the reentry, a familiar face is kind of like welcoming, mm-hmm. especially having somebody with lived experience go in there and say, hey, look, I'm in here now. I was just in your shoes a year or 2 years ago. I think it really works and helps people out and motivates them and kind of plants a little seed, like it's possible to change and do things.
Right.
Possible.
Yeah. And it's really exciting to see you being that person and, you know, hearing you say about like Vanessa when she came in here, and, you know, it's hopefully we can maybe have you come in here to talk to the CASU program.
Yeah.
And that way
that would be good.
You can be that person,
yeah.
you know, and, you know, and someday be that person that goes back into custody and is that face. So really exciting to see what you're doing and that you've stayed your path, you know, because it's not easy. That's, you know, it's definitely not easy. But I just, I mean, your successes are filled with like impressive accomplishments. I thank you for sharing your story with all of us. I hope that reflecting on it will kind of inspire you to not only stay on that path, but to just continue to do great things. So, and I appreciate I feel blessed to have been a small part on that path and to have met you and to just continue to watch you grow on your journey. So thank you. Thanks for sharing.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Anything else that you would want to say to somebody that's, you know, walked in your past shoes, or, you know, wanting to turn their life around? Anything that you would want to add?
I just want to say, just give yourself a chance to try, you know, change your life for the good. And, you know, even though we might hate CASU or we might hate, you know, classes, it's actually for our own good. It prevents us from like doing the wrong thing or hanging out with the wrong people. The curfew thing, it sucks, but at the end of the day, like, it's for our own good and it helps us at the end of the day. Everybody does it for just to help us out and to benefit us at the long run.
Yeah. So yeah, curfew is never fun, especially as an adult. It's funny because those little restrictions are the accountability that you're talking about that kind of keeps you from, like, when you're especially when you're early in your recovery, those temptations come along that maybe you would go, eh, I'm just gonna go over there with this person, but that curfew keeps you in line. The fact that, you know, CASU is supervising you and there's a great risk that, hey, if I do mess up this program, then I'm gonna go back to consequences and custody. So yeah, I can understand why the restrictions, they don't feel like freedom, but at the same time, it's that accountability and that structure that is designed to help you have your own freedom someday and make those choices on your own without our supervision, which is what you're doing now. You know, it's like a lot of those things. I mean, you have very few restrictions now, other than maybe, you know, your work restrictions, which we all have, right? And so yeah, it's just a different perspective now that you have kind of walked it and abided by all those kind of rules and restrictions, and now you are benefiting from it. So yeah, it's exciting to see.
Thank you.
So best wishes to you, and I'm sure we will have other meetings. So we'll look forward to having you as a guest speaker out here at CASU.
Okay, I look forward to it.